Okay, we continue in the Sefer Balvavi. We're on page Yud Dalet in the second paragraph. Last time we met, we discussed the idea of Amuna B'chush, a belief in Hashem that we can feel. And the last thing we mentioned is that the fact that these ideas are so obvious is the reason why we don't know them so well and we don't work on them so well, as the Mesil Shasharim talks about. So on the second paragraph in Yud Dalet, in the English transcripts, I have no idea. B'sifreinu zeh, in our book, Yedaber al hanekuda hapshuta biyoser she'odom tzorech lichios ita. In our book, we're going to talk about the simple point, the most simple point, that a person needs to live with. Zeh ha-shalav ha-pashut v'ha-hischalti shel gersh niskayer. It is the simple and most basic level of the understanding, the beginner's level of gersh niskayer, a person who converts to Judaism. V'rei kulanu tzrichim lios kol yom v'yom bali tshuva mechadosh. Each and every one of us has an obligation to be a bal tshuva, a new Baal Tshuva every day. Kamo she'amru Chazal, as the rabbis tell us, shebechol yom v'yom yotzeis bas kol meharsina v'ameris, that every day a voice from heaven emanates from Mount Sinai and says, shuvu banim shovavim, return, O backsliding children, return. So that Chazal is telling us that each and every one of us has an obligation to do tshuva every day. Every one of us, every day, has an obligation to do tshuva, so we all have to be bal tshuvas. And therefore we have to be bal tshuvas in this area as well. They tell a story with Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz from Europe, great, great, big, big tzaddik, big talmud chacham. And his father was very sick, and he attended to his father regularly. Mamish was with him all the time. And one day, people told him, listen, you should take a night off, you gotta take a little rest. So punk, the night that he took off, his father died. So after that, Rav Baruch Ber, like, was totally out of it. And he wasn't himself. It was like total Eismensch. He was not himself. And nobody could seem to help him. So one day, the Chafetz Chaim called Rav Baruch Ber to come to him. And Chofetz Chaim spoke to him and said, you know, once someone is a Baal Tshuva, they're a new person. So, and that one line revived Rav Baruch Ber, and he felt better. In other words, what was the issue? Rav Baruch Ber felt guilty that because he wasn't there, his father died, and he felt so responsible for it. So basically what the Chofetz Chaim was saying, listen, even according to what you think, you did an Aveira. Okay, so you've done tshuva already. And now you're a new person. In Yiddish, di bist anaya. You're a new person. So Rav Baruch Ber understood b'chush. If the Chofetz Chaim said it, Chofetz Chaim said, you're a new man, you're a new man. So from then on, Rav Baruch Ber would go around saying, ich biz anaya. I'm a new person. And he felt better. That there is this power of tshuva that's there. You know, Rav Gedalia Shor once mentioned at a Sheva Brachas, and you know, we know that everybody gives gifts to the Chasen and the Kala. So he said, what gift does Hashem give a Chasen and a Kala? So what's the gift that Hashem gives a Chasen and a Kala? That he forgives their Averus. That's his gift. That's the gift that Hashem gives us, that we can be new people. So we can be new people in this issue as well. Especially the idea of Gersh and Isgayer. If you remember, we learned from the Piazetzna Rebbe, we learned in the Tzav Zerus, his private personal memoirs, he wrote a short piece on his 40th birthday. And he said, you know, through his spiritual midlife crisis, whatever that could be. And he writes, you know, so what should he take on to learn more? Baruch Hashem, he learns a lot. you know, to do more chesed. He does a lot of chesed. Like, what's there for me to do already? So it says, well, the thing that I should do is to finally become a yid. I should finally convert and be a yid. You know, so what does he mean? He means like to really be the real deal, man. You know, to be the quintessential Jew that one can be. That's the idea. He understood to be the Ger Shniskar. Ger Shniskar, as the Gemara says, is a katan shenoyla dummy. It's like a newborn baby. That's what it's really all about. And really, if someone does proper tshuva, that's the same thing. It's ultimately the same thing. So we have to do proper tshuva on this. This concept of how negligent we have been on this aspect of tzaddik ben munascha yichya. Okay, so now let's see what kind of tshuva we have to do. Umaya tshuva shenachnu mechapsim. What is the tshuva that we're looking for? Is it tikkun amasim? Is it looking to improve our ways? Tikkun alev, improving our hearts. Tikkun amachshavas, improving our thoughts. Tikkun ariyah, improving where we look, as we're talking about on Shabbos. Hakol nachon, that's all right. Hakol tzarech tikkun, everything needs to be improved. And this is really exactly what the piece that the Rebbe was saying. Aval hatshuva harishonahi, the first step of tshuva, litzur mishetach, litzur karkois amiti shalad, niton livnos bini mutzak. Litzur mishetach, to clear the ground, clear out a space, to clear out a true soil from which we can build a solid structure. And that is going to be with working on the Amunah. Nevaras advarim kipshutim. Let's explain these words on a simple level. Vanaschil minakudas ayesoda pshuta biyosha shekayemes. And let's start from the simplest point that exists. Avokashem shi pshuta, but just as it is so simple, kachi yesodismo, that's how fundamental it is. Hayesod shel hakol, the foundation of everything. Vekasher hayesod ru'ua, but if the foundation is weak, chas v'shom gam abinyin shenivna agabov alu liyos ru'ua, then the building, the structure is built on it, God forbid, can be very weak as well. So what really they are doing, we're beginning a real new learning. So we know there's a famous statement that says, kol hascholos koshus. Now, that statement, not too many people know the mokar for that statement, but it really is a mechilta, like a medrash in Parshas Yisro. Kol hascholos koshus. So the way we simply learn is, you know, all new beginnings are hard. So what's pshat? All new beginnings are hard. So one pshat is, you know, everything we start is hard. Going on a diet, starting a diet is hard. Starting to learn Gemara for the first time is hard. Learning the Sefer is hard. Wherever you start is hard. Starting to come to davening is hard. Everything is hard. So one simple meaning is, you know, if it's not hard, then you haven't started yet. Right? Anybody starts and says this is easy, then you know they haven't started. They're fooling themselves. They think they've started, but they haven't started, because the change from the inertia, the effort needed, I'm sure in physics there's all these rules on how to move a stationary object as opposed to one that's already moving. It's a tremendous amount of force to get something going. And that is hard, right? So if it ain't hard, you haven't done anything. You think you've done something. That's the first pshat. But the tzaddikim give another pshat. Says if you want something to last, kosher literally means hard. So you know if you want something to last, the beginning has to be hard. You know, has to be up to code, has to be up to the specs, right? Which it's got to be a solid foundation. That's kol hascholas, all beginnings kasha, need to be hard, need to be solid, right? If the beginning of a Jew is hard, strong, emuna b'chush, then that's something you can build upon. If it's not hard, you're not going to be able to build on it. And that's why we have so many problems in our Yiddishkeit, because the emuna b'chush is not that strong. We don't really have what to build on. So Reishis in the beginning, a person has to bring into his brain, and has to accept upon itself as a way of thinking, that the central focal point of his entire life is this emuna. It's his belief, and everything goes from that point. And lo dai be'amiras shamati. It's not enough for him to say, yeah, I heard about this. And either I know about it. Amr davar tov, you have a good point. Kiyetzibur, or similar things. It's not good enough to say, yeah, we agree to this. Kishem shorim evin shim yistimu es piv es apo kach shalo yucha linshom kach yomus miyad chas shom. Just like a person knows that if you close his mouth and you close his nose, he can't breathe and will immediately die. Kach olav lohavin. So you also have to understand shamitziyah shalemuna hinishma sachaim shal yehudi, that the existence of emuna is the life source of the Jew. He has shares, it's the root. This is the simple reality that every Jew has to live in. And if you have that, then you're alive. If you don't have it, you're not alive at all. You know, they say a story of it's an unbelievable story of a Gera Chassid in the Holocaust. And he was helping Yidden. He was helping Jews. And you know, of course, that's a big crime. Big crime to the Nazis. So anyway, so he was finally caught. And of course they had to make a show of a spectacle of the guy. So they dig a pit and they fill it with lime. And it's a very corrosive chemical, lime. And they line everybody up and they throw them in. Now that day was the first day of Sukkos. First day of Sukkos. And, you know, the pain, sitting in that, you know, in that lime pit as it's corroding your body away. It's the modern way that the, descendants of Esau figured a way to flay your skin without having to do anything and just watch. I mean, the guy must be, you know, what kind of pain he would have been in. So anyway, this chassid screams out, and everybody's there watching. And he says, listen, Hashem, you took everything away from me. You took my wife away from me. You took my kids away from me. You took my parnas away from me. You took my life away from me. You took everything. No, it's a different story. It's a different one. And, but, you know, there's one thing, but you didn't take away from me. That I have. So then he says, today is the first day. His mom is unbelievable. The kind of pain he was in to be able to have his full mind with him. Right? He says, we know that today is the first day of Sukkos and you're supposed to shake the lulav and esrog. And he said, where do we have a lulav and esrog from? And we know that the four species they represent, they correspond to the four body parts. The lulav corresponds to the spine, the esrog to the heart, the adasim and the ravis, the lips and the eyes. So he says, listen, Hashem, they're taking away my four central body parts. So he says, accept my four body parts as the four species. The four species. And you're supposed to shake them. So listen, I'm shaking these four body parts. And that's my lulav and esrog. I've been mekayim the mitzvah of lulav and esrog this year. And then, of course, you have to be in a sukkah. How can I be in a sukkah? So he points right next door is the crematorium, and how the clouds of the crematorium are being blown right over on top of him. And he says, we know the sukkah is only symbolic of the anane hashchina, the clouds of glory that covered up the Jewish people. And now I'm under the clouds of glory that are covering me as well. And with that, he died. All right. Now, you know what? That guy, that chassid, he knew that God was the center of his life. He knew it was more to the center of his life, more than his wife, more than his kids, more than his parnasa, more than his friends. And that's what the tzaddik here is saying, is that that has to be the central thought. That is what you live and breathe, this emunah Hashem. Okay, in the Hebrew, next page, says vav, lifnei hakol, yesh tzarech, and what is before anything else, what is the primary need is, as we will discuss more in the next chapter, the pasuk says, "V'yadata hayom, you shall know it today." Shehaleich hachashiva shel ha'adam yeh, that the thought processes of a person should be Ma ani mechapes. What am I looking for in life? Ma ani rotze. What do I want? Ma atavke ramutol alai karega ba'olam. What is the job I have at this moment in this world? Ma atavke shali kol yemei chayiv in akudi yisodis. What is fundamentally my main purpose in life? Zu amuna, this is amuna. To know where you're supposed to be in life. Kidei shidiya zu tia ba'olam. For this knowledge to be in a person, olav lelechas imachshava hazu harbe zman. You have to be going with this thought for a long time. Lo maspik lishmo said dvarim b'loim. It's not good enough to hear these words and just to say tov ani yodea. Yeah, that's good. I know this because there's different types of knowledge. Yesh yedia shumiloshen yeda. There's yedia, the root yud dalad ayin, which is an expression of knowledge to know something. Yesh yedia shumiloshen chibur, and there's a knowledge that's from an expression of chibur, which is attachment. As it says in the brackets, when Adam and Chava were together, it says, "V'ha'adam yoda es Chava ishto," that Adam knew his wife. He knew his wife. So there's two definitions of yidia, where it says, "V'yadata hayom," you need to know it today. So you can know, like you know information, or you could know an intimate awareness of something. And that's why the Torah, as we've said many times, that, you know, if you want to know what the root of a word really means, look at it the first time. And the first time Yediyah is mentioned is here with Adam and Chava. That they knew each other, and that was a nicer way of saying that they were intimate with each other. So what's the idea? So the idea is in marriage, it's not enough just to have an intellectual awareness of your spouse. That's not enough. Yeah, I know I have a good wife. Right? But you gotta be attached with your entire being to your wife. You gotta mamish be attached. That's what it's mean. And just like as one is physically attached, one has to be totally emotionally attached. And every level they have to be attached. And that's what a real marriage is supposed to be. And obviously that is just, and the only reason we get married, the only reason we get married, I'm sorry to disillusion you, is so we can get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the only reason the institution was there, just like any other institution that exists. Everything is only so we can get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is one of the strongest means to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what does that mean? It means you have a area in which the only way you can succeed is if you're intimately attached on every level with that being. Otherwise, you're going to have a disaster. So that's the same way it works with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Same way. So that's the knowledge we need to have a Kaddish Baruch Hu. We have to be intimately aware of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Right? And unfortunately people can live with spouses a whole lifetime and still not be intimately aware of them on a deeper level. Right? So for Yeda Bavad, just to know, Maspik Lomar L'Adam, Shaveret Yisrael, Yeshna Ir, Shishmor Yerushalayim V'Yadea. You know, to say no, a guy can say, yeah, I know there's a place called Yerushalayim. I know about it. I could show you on a map. It's capital of Israel. He never was there once in his life, but he knows. He knows Yerushalayim's the capital of Israel. He knows all about Yerushalayim. It's well known. But he never lived there. Right? Never lived there. Right? If you live there, you're there. Go to the Kaisel. Go to different places. Go to the Mir Yeshiva. Different places, you get blown away. Then there's an intimate awareness of Yerushalayim. Right? So there's a deeper level, but you could say, you know, I know there's a place called Yerushalayim too. Avakam duber al yediya sha'adam tzarech lios b'chubre le b'chol haviyasav nishmas. But here we're talking about a yediya knowledge that the person has to be attached to it with his entire being and his soul. Now, kidei la'gi la'kach, in order to reach that level, Olenu lavur kivras derech arucha. We have to pass through a long process. Kivras derech is—he's using a biblical term that was used when it says a distance away from something. It's a biblical term. So we have to pass through this long process. Shinishtadal levara, that we have to make efforts to explain. Aval reishis, but in the beginning, kol tzarech sheidia hazu ti reishis kol rather. Tzarech sheyedia hazu tia b'machshavto shel adam pam. that this knowledge has to be in your thoughts once, va'od pam, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. You have to keep asking yourself, l'shema basilom, why was I brought into this world? And the answer you have to say over is, k'dei lios yehudi mamin, to be a believing Jew. Over and over, you got to do this. Kach also Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Yaakov, kach also kol tzadikim. This is what Avram did, Yitzchak did, Yaakov did. This is what all the tzadikim did. That was their whole life. Their whole life was always every minute of their lives is, what am I here for? What am I doing? What does Hashem want from me? Always thinking about that. Always living in that reality of this Hashem, being attached to Hashem. They tell a story of the Chafetz Chaim that, there was, as he was getting older, there would be a bacher that would help attend to him. So one time there was a thunderstorm in Radin, thunder and lightning. Chafetz Chaim goes over to the window. He makes the bracha on the thunder and the lightning. And then the bacher notices that the Chafetz Chaim is still mumbling. He's still mumbling. So he's curious. Maybe there's another bracha you make or something. Chafetz Chaim knew something else to say at this occasion. So he came over behind the Chafetz Chaim and he overhears him saying over and over the same words. Vos vilts de tata. What does my father in heaven want from me? Just kept mumbling it over. What does the father want? What does Tati want? What does Tati want? So what does that mean? We know the Gemara in Brachas tells us that why did Hashem create thunder and lightning? Why did he create it? So, notwithstanding what scientists have to tell us, the original reason, and the main reason is, Gemara says, is to straighten out the crookedness of our hearts. In other words, to be afraid of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When you see a lightning bolt hit the ground, man, and you hear a booming thunder, man, you jump out of your skin, right? You know the Almighty is talking to you. He's talking to you, man. He's thundering. Things are pleasant. He's trying to wake you guys up, everybody, all of us. So Chafetz Chaim took the message of the thunder personally. If the Gemara says it's to straighten out the crookedness of a heart, I have to have my heart is crooked. Hashem sent that thunderbolt straight for me. And what do I have to do to improve in my life? It's Chafetz Chaim now. Right? If you look at the biography of the Chafetz Chaim, he always kept asking from himself things. He always would demand from himself more. People would always overhear him and hide behind the keyhole. And they'd listen and this and that. He always would talk about these things where he'd keep on saying, that's the way he lived. That's the way he lived. He kept just, talking, and what does Hashem want? What does Hashem want from me? So, Mahaisa kol avodasam ba'olam. So, what was their whole work? What was their whole work? What was Avram Yitzchak? What was their whole work? Emuna. That was their work. Tzadik b'emuna ascha yichya. The tzadik lives by emuna all the time. They keep asking, Mahatachlish shemisbakeshes bimeni ba'olam. What is the goal that they want from me in this world? But that's what a person has to always ask. That's why, when you coined the term Baal Tshuva, Tshuva also, besides Tshuva, what does the word Tshuva mean? Tshuva means also an answer. Shaila and Tshuva. Question and answer. So what's a Baal Tshuva? Right? Baal Tshuva is the master who's the master of answers. He's looking for answers. That's what about. How does somebody become about tshuva? He's looking for answers. He has questions. He's looking for answers. Nobody becomes about tshuva because life is wonderful. Life is grand. Let's be about tshuva. The guy's making millions of dollars. He's got a wonderful life, and nothing's on his mind. He says, "I decided I want to be religious." Never happens. Never happens. That doesn't happen. It happens, crisis, midlife crisis, whatever, a scare, a this or that, life isn't working out so well, he's not married, maybe, you know, they're looking, you know, then it arouses some questions. Is this all my life is all about? Right? So then they're looking for answers. That's why, but they're investigating. That's the whole point. They're investigating. So the Baal Tshuva is looking for answers, and that's why in certain ways it's easier for them to become frum when they get on the right path, because they're like Avram Avinu. You know, the problem with FFBs, the problem with the people who are born frum, is they don't have any questions. They don't have any questions. This is the way we do it, and that's all. So they're not searching. They're not looking for anything. They're not looking for anything. The problem with the Baal Tshuva is we hope, you know, they may not get the right answers. If they go to the conservative rabbi for answers, then they're in big trouble. Right? And it depends who you go for the answers. That's the risk, that the potential Baal Tshuva is where are you going to get your answers? You have lots of questions and you're looking for answers, and you know, the problem with the FFB is that they need to start asking questions. That's their problem, right? And quite often, the Baal Tshuva's search for answers gets disillusioned when he meets the FFBs who aren't asking the questions. Right? That's the problem. They're figuring, wow, you know, it's really great to be religious, and then they see how corrupted the religious community is, and then they wonder why they became frum. It's a big problem. Big problem. Right? And in certain ways, it's harder to find questions than to have questions and look for answers. It's easy. It's not that hard to have if you have a question already, okay, then you have an avoda to look for an answer. You know, as the Chazal say, Shailas Chacham Chatzi Tshuva. The question of the wise man is half the answer already. If you really have a good question, then it's easier to find the answer. If you don't even know how to ask a question, then you got big problems. And that's the real issue. That's the real issue. That the frum people, they're not asking the real questions anymore. Besides the obnoxious, ridiculous questions that have nothing to do with the Avodas Hashem. But the real deep questions of Avodas Hashem, the frum people aren't asking it anymore. The Baal Tshuvas are. Yeah. Yeah, it's a famous story. I didn't say it because it's such a famous story. You're right. It's a famous story. He says he went to Or HaSameach, and somebody asked, where are you learning? He went to the Ger Rebbe. He says, where are you learning? He says, I'm going to Or HaSameach, but I'm not a Baal Tshuva. So the Ger Rebbe says, so what's so schlecht zu sein a Baal Tshuva? What's so bad to be a Baal Tshuva? I wish I could be a Baal Tshuva. That term Baal Tshuva means you're asking questions, and you're the Baal Tshuva, you're the master of answers. You're the master of answers. That's a Baal is a master, Tshuva is answers. You're looking for the answers, and you're finding the answers. That's what we have to do every day. We all have to be the Baal Tshuva. Right? So that's the, what's my goal? Those are the questions. You have to keep asking the questions. And the answer is obviously Emuna. Emunah, as we're saying now, it's an expression of connection. It's an expression of connection. Right? That's when it's the whole idea. It's the whole idea. It all goes back to marriage. It all goes back to marriage. Right? When you put on your tefillin and you put the straps around your fingers, you say, Verastichli, you have betrothed to me. You are betrothed to me, Hashem. You betrothed me. Rastichli olam, rastichli, right? And then we say what? Rastichli be'amuna. You have betrothed me in amuna. What's the next word say? V'yadatas Hashem, and you will know Hashem. You know Hashem, right? So there's an idea of amuna. There's an idea of knowing Hashem, and when you're putting on when you're putting the straps around the finger. This is obviously very symbolic of the ring in marriage. You're putting on the ring every day, 6 days a week. You're putting your wedding ring on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? So and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what Hashem is saying over there. The whole idea of this betrothal, right? It's got to be with emunah. It's got to be with knowledge. It's not enough when we put the ring on. The whole idea of the ring in a marriage right? It's not enough to know that we're married, but there's got to be a chibur. There's got to be an attachment. There's got to be an everlasting attachment. There's got to be total knowledge of each other. You know, and the whole idea of putting on the ring, the whole idea of putting on the ring is unifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this marriage. Is by being intimately aware of your spouse, you become intimately aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and marriage is the greatest institution to bring a moon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, when the husband's putting the ring on the kala, he is reenacting the Shem Hashem of the Yud K Vav K, the name Hashem. Because symbolically, the ring is this little garnish. It's a little yud. Like a yud, it's just a little, it's a little nothing. It's a little line. So you got this little ring over here. So it's the yud. It's in the chassan's hand. Chassan's hand, he has five fingers. It's gematria of five. It's hey, the letter hey is five. So he's got the yud with the hey, right? Kala sticks out the finger. That's the vav. Straight line. Vav, that, and then it gets into her hand, which is the hey, yud k vav k, right? That's what Hashem wants. That's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants that through this chibur of marriage, through this real bonding of marriage, should enable us to have a chibur with Hashem and connect Hashem. That's the paradigm. That's how Hashem wants us to live that way. And that's why we have to keep asking the questions. Amani tzarech lachshov b'chaim. What am I supposed to be thinking about when I'm alive? Al amuna, bar amuna. Got to keep asking these questions. V'machshav v'yedia tzricha lios she'ikra chaim zu amuna. The thoughts and your knowledge have to primarily be that the main thing of life is emuna. That's it. All day long. That's what you're thinking about. All day long. Everything that comes into your world is you keep asking yourself, you know, what does Hashem want for me from this and from that and all these things. So he says, "Yevsher acharei pam achas." It's impossible after one time. Shalom shomei advarim. When a person hears what we're talking about, she's hapech etzlo komash chashav arayom. For all seven of him to turn on a dime and turn everything upside down of what he thinks about all day long. I mean, right now, all day long, we think about our work, right? We think about our food. We think about, well, not lately. We think about sports. There's nothing to think about in Toronto. So, but. You think about, you get wrapped up in the politics of Israel, right? You're wrapped up in, you know, save the people of Sderot. Even though, it's a hard remember, as a way to even good things can keep your mind off of Kadosh Baruch Hu. You could try to save people's lives in Sderot all day long and not think of Hashem once. Not think of Hashem once. We're just totally into the ideas, we gotta save them. Which is wonderful, but if you're, anything, it's no different than putting on a talus. If you don't think of Hashem, it's not going to help much, right? So we think about a lot of things, but we don't think as often, or if there's anything pressing, someone, God forbid, is sick in the family, it consumes us, right? Think of the last time your mamish were consumed with an issue. You're consumed with it, right? So it's hard to change that you think all day long, 99.9% of the time, you're not thinking about Hashem. And all of a sudden, it's got to be 100% of the time, you have to be thinking about Hashem. It's not easy to turn that thought processes. Ki afilu im besichlo hishtachnea b'me'as o'achuzim. Even if your intellect is 100% convinced, which that itself, he says in the brackets, is not so simple. Let's even assume that you're 100% convinced about Hashem and how important this is. Avol kedei shehalach hachashiva shelo yakach. But for your natural thought processes to be about that, all of lahargilas atzma, you have to train yourself alachshov and to think. When you hear an idea, you're supposed to say, shamati dvarim, I just heard something. Hey, mamiti malo, is it true or not? Anything in Torah, anything of wisdom, right? You hear, the rabbi gives a talk. So you think about what he says. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to do when you hear a drush or anything. You read a sefer, whatever. You see a vort from the Chedush Arim, whatever. I don't care what it is, right? So now you have to. You just don't hear it and say it and then say it over at the Shabbos table and your yoytz design. You're supposed to say to yourself, "Listen, I just heard something. Is it true what the rabbi said, or is it not true? Is he lying to me, or is he telling me the truth?" We talk about the Indian on Shabbos, a Shmiras, Shmira, guarding ourselves, protecting ourselves. right? And we talk about the idea that a person has to explore. Now, is he going to explore vertically or horizontally? That's the only shiloh. But if you're not exploring vertically, you'll be exploring horizontally. Either you're going to be exploring up to Hashem. Remember he said? Man, first man, right? He was as big as the whole world. He went from one end of the world to the other, which means to say, symbolically, a person has a natural desire to explore the entire world. But he also was created from bottom up to the heavens. He has a nature to explore straight up to God. We are all explorers. So, and you have to explore. No, so that's why everybody has to explore everything that's in the magazines. You have to explore the internet. You have to explore everything. How do you stop it? You can't. That's the way you're made. You have to explore. Right. So he said, no. Right. There's one exception. But if you decide to explore upwards, explore through Svarim, explore through learning about Hashem, then your nature to explore is fully developed. You don't have to. You have no time to explore other things. So when the rabbi says that, and it was Pinchas said it, not me, but Pinchas said it, right? So Pinchas says it. So you gotta hear. You gotta when you walk out of shul or you're home on Shabbos, what are you supposed to do with that fort? Well, no, okay. Rabbi filled up a half hour of shul time with something interesting. I found it very intellectually stimulating, and I have something to speak over, and I'll look intelligent, and that was wonderful. And life goes on. No, that's not what it's there for. You have to say to yourself, is what Rav Pinchas said, is it true? It's Chazal. It's Chazal. All right? It's basically what Chazal are saying. Is what they said true or not? Either you have to accept it or reject it. It's not like, I haven't thought about it. No, you got to think about it. Either say it's not true, there's no such thing, or it is true. Right? So you have questions. You have a question on it. Well, if that's the case, then what about over there? It seems to kind of ring that. You got to work it through. But then you got to say, is it true or is it not true? Right? So, one second. So now, if it's true, so what does it mean? What does it mean if it's true? It means you can't control your eyes from looking at pretty women unless you explore Torah. Finished. That's what it means. Right? What does it mean when the Chazal talk about that when you're looking at things you're not supposed to look at, you know, you're going to cause yourself big spiritual problems? It's true. Is it true or is it not true? So if it's true, and so what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You know, you're looking at things you shouldn't look at. You know, you're going to burn in hell for this, man. You know, and forget about that. You're not going to be close to Hashem. I mean, but what can I do? There's no way out. What do you mean there's no way out? Stick to the books. Stick to your Shemaim. Think about spiritual things. Grow spiritually. You won't have to worry about it. That's the answer. Don't you want to get out of this finally? Do you want to get out of that Yetzer Hara, for goodness sake? Right? It's a big, you can't, it's a losing battle, right? So now, Rav Pinchas is giving you the answer. He's saving your life. So now what are you going to do about it? Do you believe it or you not believe it? So if you really would think about it, you say, you know what, I got no Eitzah, and this is what I got to do. If the doctor tells somebody, Chas v'Shalom, you have cancer, you will die unless you take therapy. So what are you going to say? You say, okay, that's very nice, I'll say it over at the Shabbos table. Dear, what happened? You went to the doctor. He said, I have, you know, the person says that he has cancer, and if I don't take therapy, I will die in 6 weeks. That's very interesting. Okay, what's for dinner? What's for dinner? You know, well, how about the trip to Cancun next month? You know, the guy's Meshuggener. He's Meshuggener. He doesn't care about his life. Right? So would the guy be normal? Right? So Pinchas says, you want to save your neshama? This is how you're going to save your neshama. Okay, that's nice. What can you pass the cholent, please? And life goes on. And that was a nice vort. It goes way back in the receptacles of your mind. Maybe you'll think about it again. That's what he's saying. That's not what you have to, that's not the way it's supposed to be. He's saying, La'achash u'nochach shem amitim, once you accept that what you're hearing is true, La'haskalachshol, you have to think about it. Z'man shuholech lishon, and then when you go to sleep that night, u'shosach, you ask yourself, Ma'shamatim, what did I hear today? What did I learn today? Im ze'em, is it true? Z'achlachshol, then I got to think about it. If it's an important, it's something I should be thinking about. See, the problem we have with, you know, that is a real problem. You know, with internet Dvar Torahs and this, you know, 2 minute lift a day, you know, the problem, I'm not saying they're bad, but the challenge with it is, you know, you get consumers of this. Guys come with their pages of internet Dvar Torahs to shul. You know, which I don't understand why you bring that at all, because it's supposed to be davening. I don't understand. Okay, maybe between Aliyahs, you know, but the 8 seconds we have between Aliyahs. But you know, you're just knocking off. You're knocking off one Dvar Torah after the other. So what remains after you knock them all off? You know, what you should have is like one Dvar Torah and meditated on it for hours. Till at least let one Dvar Torah get into your neshama. What do you have? You have 50 Dvar Torahs. It's at the edge of your brain, and it stays at the edge of your brain your whole life. Take one Dvar Torah and just soak it in. You know, what does it mean? It's one Dvar Torah. What does this mean? How does this affect my life? This is Torah. This is instructions for living. Do I understand the instructions? Have I integrated the instructions? Am I living with these instructions? If I'm not living this, how can I be alive? I'm not living with such an important instruction. The problem is, it's like, you know, it's like everything else. You know, you have a magazine and you read a magazine, you flip from one article to the next. So I flip from one Torah article to another Torah article. You know, what do you do? What do you do with magazines? How much, you know, it's just throw it in the garbage. So you're kind of throwing your Torah in the garbage after. So, you know, that's the danger. That's the danger of that, as opposed to integrating it. So that's what he says. Imzu emes, if it's true, tzarech lachshokav, you gotta think about it. If it's true, how do I integrate it into my life? Do I make changes in my life because of this, or do I not? I mean, if it's true, I have to do something with it. And if I'm not doing anything, by definition, I'm saying it's not true. Because if it was true, why wouldn't I be doing anything? You know, just quick, you know, one of the earlier Lubavitcher Rebbe's, the Rebbe Rashab, he met a Russian refusnik after he was released. And, you know, and this is going way back. It's way back. Not the modern refusnik, way back. And, you know, it was brutal what they went through. If you were a Jew in Russia, in the Gulag place. So, and this Jew, after years and years, he came out. And, you know, it was one of the famous early refuseniks, you know, like the Sobota type of refuseniks, where the guy, like Mamish, he kept Shabbos and just threw him in confinement. You know, they punish you like crazy. Like, it was impossible. And the guy, you know, came in a Frumyid, he walked out of Frumyid after so many years. So when he came and he met the Rebbe Rashab after 70 years, so the Rebbe Rashab says, how did you stay frum so long? So he says, Rebbe, I remember something you said 70 years ago at a Fabrengen, a vort. And that vort kept me alive all 70 years. I used to remember what the vort was, but I forgot it. I have it somewhere in my notes, I can't remember. He says, that vort kept me alive for 70 years. You know what that means? It means a Jew with real amuna, right? He can get chiyus, he can live. It's enough oxygen for him to live with one good vort. One good vort. And you can live with that forever. Because you integrate, it's part of your life. If it's part of your life, you're gonna live with that. You know, if you read Sharansky's book, Fear No Evil, you know, and he talks about his deepest thoughts. You know, he may not have realized it, but his thoughts were always thoughts of Hashem, and those are the ones that kept him going. Right? So if you live with a thought, it can keep you going. So that's what he's saying. If you're living with Hashem, you're hearing some Torah. So you have to really analyze it. You have to go through it. You have to integrate it. That is a person who lives with Emunah. Okay, well, gotta stop. All right, we'll continue Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow.